The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This particular gospel passage from Luke bears a close resemblance to the passage that we read last week from the Gospel of St. John. And there's a particular point in this that Jesus comes behind closed doors. And I think this closed doors is obviously a literal thing because John tells us that the apostles locked the doors for fear of the Jews, not only fearing for their life, but also certainly fearing to even go out. Fearing the mockery, the man you followed, the one you said was to redeem Israel, is now gone. Everything that you thought would come about is no longer has any hope of being brought about. We see this task, or this reference to the Lord coming behind closed doors, to the fact and disposition of the apostles' hearts. And so too our hearts can turn this way. Different things happen in our life. We experience tragedy. We experience some sort of suffering or hardship, lies, deceptions, and many other things that cause our hearts to become hardened. We shutter our hearts. We close out the Lord because we fear being hurt, being mocked, for what has happened before to happen once again to our hearts. But there is good news. And this good news is shown to us in today's gospel. Jesus comes even behind locked doors. Even that does not stop him from reaching his disciples. We see him come behind these doors, and he stands in their midst and says to them, "Peace be with you." And these are extraordinarily powerful words because I think what many of us desire within our hearts is the power of peace. For us to be at rest. The oftentimes tumultuous nature of our hearts, which at one second wants something, another second something else, it can be dragged in a million different directions. So when Jesus says this to his disciples, he's referring to the disposition of their hearts. "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. And this is extraordinarily, again, good news. Because the Lord wants to do this for you as well. Perhaps you have closed off, shuttered, maybe your entire heart or parts of your heart, as we each can do, not wanting to allow the Lord in. Again, for fear of many different things. More hurt, fear the way that it changes things, and a number of other different factors that are unique to each and every one of us. But the Lord still wants to come to us. He still meets the disciples where they are. They should not be scared. They should not be fearful. But yet they are. And the Lord still comes to them. So too, if you find your heart perhaps hardened, or perhaps difficult to trust the Lord at this current moment for whatever the reason may be for yourself, Know that the Lord wants to meet you there. Jesus says those words, "Peace be with you. Peace be to you," because ultimately he is real. The promise of his resurrection speaks to us even now. And that is an extraordinarily good thing. And we can even see as Jesus comes in their midst, and this should give us heart too, that even as he comes behind those closed doors, even as he speaks words of peace to their hearts, they still doubt. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Look and see that I am not a ghost. And then he does something interesting, one of those interesting things where he asks if they have any food. He wants to show them that, well, it's not simply going to pass through him, that he's still human, that he's resurrected, that this is real, that his resurrection has truly taken place. And this is so important for us to remember too, because again, this speaks to how we can at times respond. We can respond to the Lord's invitations in our life and still be doubtful, still be troubled. Is this really the Lord speaking to me? Does the Lord really want me to have peace? Does the Lord really love me? And the answer is, of course, yes, and we know that in our heads. But to each and every one of us in our own ways, the Lord can give us signs, can give us indications of this love. And it's unique for, again, each and every one of us. I know the kind words of parishioners at different points, the own example of my parents, different things that have happened to me in prayer, all have pointed to the love of God at work in my life at different points, whenever I wanted to doubt, whenever I wanted to shutter my heart, when I wanted to close the doors and isolate. But the Lord still showed me different paths. I can remember numerous times wanting to give up, and at that point a friend would call. Whether it was in seminary or henceforth, somebody would call, somebody would knock on my door, "Do you want to go to dinner?" I don't point this out to you to say this is how God's going to work in your life, but instead to say, be open. How does the Lord work in your experience? And in order for us to observe that, we have to learn to trust him. Because the Lord wants to knock on the door of your heart. He even tells us quite literally in the book of Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock." He stands at the door of your heart. He knocks. He desires to come in. And beyond that, he desires to care for you, to grant peace and healing to your heart, so that what God works in our midst, in your heart, might not only be witnessed to, because then he opens the minds of the disciples, the apostles, to the scriptures. He desires to open our hearts to the truth, the beauty, the way in which he speaks to us through the scriptures, the teachings of the church, to enable us to witness to the world that Christ is real, that his love triumphs over all. Because then we see this happen in the Acts of the Apostles from our first reading. After Jesus visits them many times, as Jesus desires to visit our hearts many times, they are finally given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they're enabled to witness and preach the gospel even to those that they once feared, even to those that once put their Lord to death. And so we too should take heart, because no matter where you are in your life today, and no matter if you feel like you've taken a few steps forward, maybe a few steps back, he still will meet you where you are. He still will come to you. And in coming to you, he will continue to strengthen you if you allow him to do so, inviting him to show you that you are loved, that you are good, and that you are indeed his.